Welcome to the F4 Podcast, where your hosts, Brian, Brooke, Charles, and Vanessa, discuss all things faith, family, friends, and fitness. What is F4? Sometimes it's a glimpse into how we navigate the world, and sometimes it's a deep dive into how we handle the four main areas of our lives. If you want to have a healthier relationship with God, family, friends, and yourself, this podcast is for you. Thank you for joining us as we unpack this episode.
Welcome to episode 24 of the F4 Podcast. In today's episode, we're diving deep into the ubiquitous presence of cell phones and the challenges they present in our relationships. I'm excited that we can discuss and unpack this problem and burden that I've been wrestling with over the past couple months, and I know some of my co-hosts have as well. But before we jump into that, my name is Charles Giddens, and I'm one of the F4 hosts. I'm joined today by the F4 regulars, my wife, Vanessa.
Hello.
And our super awesome friends, Brian and Brooke Marston. I want to thank you for taking time to listen and watch our podcast. If you could follow us on Instagram and like and share the podcast, we would greatly appreciate it. We're on a variety of platforms, including Apple, Spotify, Google, Pocket, Radio Public, Breaker, Anchor, and YouTube. If you'd like to be a sponsor of the show, you can message us on Instagram or Facebook or via email at f4ncpodcast@gmail.com. So welcome to episode 24, Disconnected. It's no secret that cell phones have become an integral part of our daily lives, revolutionizing the way that we communicate, work, and connect with others. But with this technological advancement comes a host of inherent problems that can strain even the strongest of relationships. That's one of them now, whether it's a constant barrage of notification vying for our attention or the temptation to escape into virtual worlds. Cell phones have a way of infiltrating our relationships and sowing seeds of discord. From dinner dates interrupted by buzzing phones to late-night scrolling that replace intimate conversations, it's clear that our devices often take precedence over people right in front of us. But why is it so difficult to put our cell phones down and truly connect with our loved ones? I want to get started with some staggering statistics. So according to BusinessOutsider.com, people touch their phone an average of 2,617 times a day.
That's a lot, right?
Average screen time, as reported by AllAboutVision.com, is equally staggering. Listen to this. The average screen time for a 2 to 4 year old is 2 to 2.5 hours a day. The average screen time for kids age 5 to 8 is over 3 hours. The kids 8 to 12, the average jumps up to almost 5 hours a day. You ready for this one? The average screen time, and we all have teens, the average screen time for teens is almost 7.5 hours a day. And as bad as that is, adults aren't a whole lot better. So we average 7 hours a day according to crossrivertherapy.com. 7 hours a day. So not to put anybody on the spot, and I know screen time usage is very nuanced, but why don't you grab your phone, and if you don't mind, grab your phone. If you don't have your phone, I guess you got to get up and go get it.
I can tell you what my average screen time is, though.
Okay, well, I can tell you mine is up there, but I can tell you what mine is as well. Okay. So anybody want to share their number? There's no judgment.
Well, you're going to judge me for my technological...
How to find it? Do you want me to tell you how to find it?
No, I know where it is, but it wasn't set up until today.
Are you kidding?
I'm not kidding.
Okay, well, that's fine.
Because I got on today to go, hey, I'm just curious before I am honest about this answer. So 1 hour and 6 minutes today, I have no data.
Yeah, I'm calling probably not accurate there, but okay, go ahead.
Minus 2 hours and 13 minutes.
Okay.
3.5.
I'm 3.5 as well. So Brooke wins.
No, I don't win anything. I'm not. That's not set up.
So here's the thing, and again, this is nuanced, and I'm curious because you just set yours up, which goes to a further question later on in the notes.
So see, I'm prepared for later.
You are. It's great.
Hey, do you want to hear my most used app?
Yes, I actually do. I would love it if you could tell me.
The Bible.
Is it really? Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so yours is the Bible. What is your first click? So there's a thing on there with a first clicked, like the first thing you click when you pick your phone up.
Oh, I don't know how to do that.
It's right back to the same place, back up one, and it will tell you first clicked or first used or first something. I forgot the actual, what they call it.
I know the Bible's my first use. I'm very spot on that one.
Well, it's not just in the morning. It's any time you open your phone. It logs it regardless of morning or not.
Yeah.
So not first of the day, first of.
Right.
I see downtime. I see app limits, always allowed, screen distance, communication limits, safety.
Go back up to the top where it's.
See all app and website activity.
Yep, right there. Click on that. And then in there, there should be a button that tells you, I can't see. It's somewhere on there. First use after pickup, podcast. So yours is a podcast. The first thing you pick up when your phone lights up, every time it's locked and you open it back up again, the first thing you click on is podcast. Mine is messages.
I was going to say, I bet mine's text messages.
Mine is messages.
First time I pick it up.
Yeah, mine is messages. And it's not necessarily in the morning because the first thing I do in the morning, to your point,
right,
is pick that up. But the phone doesn't read it that way. And I'm curious because this is a very nuanced question. So yours is 2 hours. Yours is an hour.
Yeah.
Yours is an hour.
And my number one was the Bible.
Yes. So
what a nerd.
Oh, it's not a nerd thing, but so
by the way, I'll be a nerd all day. Yeah. I don't care.
Yeah, it's fine. So I guess, what do you think about, and maybe that was news to you, maybe you already knew what it was and your screen time was. I'm a little shocked. One, I guess I'm thrilled. I'm a little concerned that mine, you know, is over three hours. However, it's half of what a normal adult is, so I guess I'm okay there. But I listen to a lot of podcasts like you do. I don't necessarily use the podcast app, so my Safari time is higher because of the way I access some of the podcasts that I listen to, because I don't necessarily always listen through Spotify or podcast. Mm. So I think my Safari is the highest app that I use from a time standpoint, and the second is the Bible app, but the first is Safari. You know, and it was news to me when I started doing notes and started, you know, going through all this. I'm like, oh, I wonder what mine is. And I was a little concerned. Did anybody else have that feeling when, you know, because you got the show notes and I'm sure you kind of went through and looked, but.
I wouldn't be surprised by the hours just because I use my phone for so many things. Like at this point it's my pocket computer. So I'm sure that I am on it a good bit because of Googling things or text messaging or listening to podcasts. I listen to music a lot. So I have Spotify running a lot. So I know my phone usage is not an hour because of that alone. Right. I will have that running for hours. So yeah, I'm not. I wouldn't be surprised by it.
So the question would be next week.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
Yeah, we'll make an update to the podcast to go. Brooke is not an hour. Brooke is yeah. 8 hours, and she
12
loses.
Hours. 12 hours a day.
You don't have 12 hours a day to spend on your phone.
No,
I so back in October, I took social media off my phone, and that's been one of the best things I've ever done. Because I'm not, when I get bored, I'm not going to that first, because that was often a go-to. Like, oh, it's so easy to go to Facebook or Instagram, and I have a Snapchat account. I never really have used it. It's sitting dormant. So, and I don't have a TikTok account. So I know a lot of people get caught up in those wormholes, mm-hmm. especially TikTok. Mm-hmm. But I just taking it off my phone and just accessing those those websites on my desktop or my laptop has, I know, saved a lot of time. Mm-hmm. I think if you had looked at my screen time prior, when I would get bored, I would go to those two apps a lot more. And now that's not an option. But I did a 1-month fast, and I realized that I was substituting that for real connection. And I'm so glad that I took them off my phone, because there are people now that I'm connecting with that I wasn't connecting with, that live out of state, that it's not easy for me to connect with them if I'm not intentional. And their friendship, the relationship there, brings a lot of value to my life, but I think I'm able to add value to their lives. Yeah, that's what I'll say about that right now. I know we got more.
Yeah, we got more.
So I don't want to jump the gun.
We got more of that coming toward the end. I think it's fantastic, and I'd love to hear all about the fast, which we'll get to in a minute. But it's probably not going to be in a minute, but soon.
Sure.
Anything you were surprised about, or?
No, I think I was pretty aware of where I spent most of my time. I do spend a good bit of time in the Bible app. I also spend a lot of time on Wattify.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's because my coaching 5:30 a.m., it may not be the one I click on first throughout the day the most, but it's the first thing I click on, you better believe, when I wake up in the morning.
Yeah. Sure.
to see if people are still signed up for class.
Oh, yeah.
And then from there, I travel right into what I'm teaching, how I need to be teaching it based on who's in class and all of that. So I spend a good deal of time there every day.
Yeah, and in getting to that conversation about screen time in general, it's a nuanced conversation, mm-hmm. because like Brian has access to his actual PC a little bit more often, mm-hmm. than I do throughout the day because of the way my work schedule is set up. So I may operate differently. And so if you're listening to this podcast or watching us, don't get necessarily so caught up in the actual number, because mm-hmm. it's nuance. Like, there's no way to say this is right or this is wrong. And if you access your phone 7 hours, like the average is for an adult, but you don't have access to a PC and that's how you do your work, then that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, no one's saying that that's wrong. So,
and that's absolutely part of the averages that are,
right.
Part of the statistics.
Yeah. I think the interesting part would be the apps that were used, and that's mm-hmm. where you would get some, a little bit better insight there. But so we're going to start with a super easy question, and it's one that I think we've kind of all probably kicked around, but how do you feel if people around you are on their phone or checking their watch while trying to have a conversation with you? Anybody can answer this.
I'm not going to answer this first because I want to hear what Brooke or Vanessa say.
Yeah, me too.
I think you already know. You know what I would say.
Mm-hmm, I do.
Maybe not the people that are watching or listening, mm-hmm. but I'd be interested to hear what the two of them say, because I don't know that I've ever heard them talk about this.
I think it depends for me. I'll just say I think it depends. I think it depends on the person, and I think it depends on the setting. Hmm. If I am around my kids, for example, I know they are super connected to their phones. And so honestly, I do not take it personally if they're on the phone when we're having a conversation. I view it a little bit more as if we were driving in a car and we're not necessarily looking at each other, but we're having a conversation. And granted, sometimes that means a lull in the conversation. Sometimes it means there is some distraction, but conversations with my kids can be that way anyway. And sometimes I think for them, it's a little bit of a pacifier, and we can get into all that, later too, because I don't necessarily think all of that is good, but I think that it's a little bit of a pacifier, so I'm not usually offended by it. But if, like, we were having dinner, especially if we were celebrating, like, an anniversary or something, if you, Brian, were to be on your phone the whole time, I would be like, maybe I'll just go to the car. You know what I mean? So I think that the setting, definitely, if people are on their phone, like in church, that to me is another, can't you check that later? Or go to the bathroom at least, it really does depend.
Well, and you don't know. Maybe they're on the Bible app at church.
Maybe. But sometimes when you see basketball games going.
Oh yeah, it's a little.
They don't show the Bible on basketball games usually.
And we
were
in North Carolina. I mean, it's fair.
I mean, I know it's important.
It's important. Oh, it's certainly important. Let me ask you this. So you talked about your family, right? You talked about Brian. You talked about the kids. What about a normal person? A normal conversation.
Yeah, because I'm not normal.
Well, no, you're not. No, that's it's a different relationship.
It's a different relationship.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I think that probably I would think, okay, well, they're no longer interested in this conversation that we're having. Is probably the general.
Yeah.
Would be my general.
Okay.
I think if somebody is already doing something on their phone and I am trying to initiate a conversation, I'm much more tolerant if they're trying to wrap it up because I'm actually intruding on what they were doing and I'm a terrible multitasker. So I can appreciate that if and that goes for our son as well, anybody. I also have an appreciation. We all, the four of us, have a mutual friend who is the queen of Google and gathering information, and I can appreciate that. If someone were to reach for their phone for a specific purpose to gather a piece of information, like you said, it's a pocket computer.
About a topic we're talking about together.
Right, it's an encyclopedia as well as a social bulletin in some regards. So if it's regarding a conversation we're having and it's momentary to gather information, I'm okay with that. But like you said, and like we have all experienced, if you are having a conversation, and I know we have all experienced it, we've all experienced it with the same person. If you're having a conversation and somebody reaches for their phone, whether it dings or not, if somebody reaches for their phone and then you see this, and you know the person is just scrolling. They're not looking at anything in particular. They're just scrolling. That's super aggravating. Because I am not as important then as what is happening on your little pocket computer.
Or what is not happening,
right?
Because you're still scrolling for what is happening.
Right.
So. Yeah, I think one of the worst occasions of this happened when someone asked me to be a mentor for them. And they would talk about how they felt about a certain situation. And then they would throw the ball to me to respond, or it would just be natural for me to respond. And when I would, I'm not kidding, it would take maybe 3 seconds before they were scrolling on their phone and responding to text messages and notifications that they were seeing on their phone. And I would just stop. I would stop mid-sentence. And they wouldn't even notice. Do you know how long we met in that kind of context? It's basically 2 times.
Not long.
Because for me, realizing I have a limited amount of time, not that I think I'm ultra important, but I feel like it is a stewardship, and I'm not going to spend it that way. Because I can do that with my own kids. And I'm going to love them, and I want to be connected to them because... well, they're my kids. I have a responsibility, and I'm still teaching them. This person that I don't have the same responsibility for, even though my kids are all adults, legal adults, that is.
Right.
I am going to try to help them the best I can. But this particular person, they would make excuses because they would eventually notice I wasn't talking anymore. Sometimes they wouldn't. And I'm like, this is bizarre. And seeing that, being on the other side of that, I don't want to do that to someone else because I didn't like how it felt. I'm like, you are wasting my time. There are other things that I would rather do and people I'd rather be with. So that's just one experience I had. But I generally speaking do not like it.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, when someone goes and checks something on their phone about a conversation we're having, I often see them do other things. Mm. I can tell because of how long it takes. And I see their finger action and they get notifications. And so they're responding to other things that are going on. And it's just annoying because, again, you are saying that what is right in front of you is more important than what is happening collectively. So I prefer to say, you know what, if it requires Google, let's do that later. Let's have this conversation. Unless it's just one of those things where we need to figure something out together that Google can answer the question. Yeah. But for me, like at the dinner table, I just want to be phone free. That's just one instance. I don't enjoy it. And I see like people almost like when you put that boundary of we're not going to look at our phones at the table, there are people that it's like they're itching to pick it up. And I had that experience the other day. And to the credit of the people I was with, they really did a pretty good job overall. But even still, when they would go say, oh, I'm going to check this, I saw them checking notifications. And I'm just like, it's annoying.
Yeah. So, and again, we're going to get to, Brian likes to, I love it. You're like, this is why. We'll get to that in a second. Here's what I think. So let me ask you this. Let me ask you guys this, and it's not in the notes, but you bring up a really good point. let's say we're having this conversation, and this is not a mic'd conversation. It's a regular conversation, which we do. The four of us have conversations like this a lot. And the phone's on the table, right side up. Huh. Walk me through that.
Well, so mine is typically not like that. But I sat it down like that. Mm-hmm. Of course, my phone is on Do Not Disturb. So
tonight's a little different. This is funny, and it's I didn't expect it.
And you had me do something with my phone at the beginning. So I think when I sat it down, it wasn't as intentional. No. Typically speaking, it's like this. If I have the phone on the table to begin with.
Right.
One of the reasons I don't have it in my pocket is my back pocket makes me feel like, if you've ever watched the show Seinfeld, George had a really thick wallet. And so it makes me feel like my hips are going to go out of equilibrium. And then I've got one of these plus phones, so they're really big. And so my front pocket is just, it like hangs out. And then if I'm wearing certain kinds of pants, it will fall out. So a lot of times I have to put it on the table because if I put it beside me on a seat, then I'm going to leave it there because I'm forgetful when it comes to my stuff.
He is prone to leaving things.
You don't say.
And I get that from my father.
Well, we came to a really good conclusion about that the other day. Brooke and I did. I think it was just you and I in the gym, maybe. But Cam and Christian, and apparently a lot of people do. I've never seen it. I thought it was fantastic. But they put their keys with what they don't want to leave. So at this case, it was something they had in the refrigerator at the gym, and they left keys in the refrigerator, and Christian had to come back into the gym to get what he left. And he's like, that's why the keys are right there. It was amazing. And Brooke was like, I'm going to start doing that with Brian's stuff.
Just take the keys. The keys go with whatever doesn't need to be forgotten.
My in-laws bought me AirPods for Christmas, and I like to listen to podcasts now, and I like to do phone calls with them. Because I can be hands-free.
He likes to just wear them, honestly.
She's right. No, she's not. Even this morning, I started setting the AirPods on my phone because if I don't put them back in the case, then I'm going to leave them somewhere. And I'm like, where are my AirPods? And so it's a microcosm of what you're talking about. Yeah. But I think that's a really great practice that Cam and Christian
It's did. Great. It was fantastic. I was like, oh, I'm 50 years old. I never thought about doing that. But it was great. And it happened. Like, it was like, oh, this is a setup. They're setting this up because they want everybody to do this. It was great, though. Getting back to the phone thing. So I'll tell you, for me personally, phones on the table regardless anymore. And this used to be different for me. But it really is I don't like it. And I think if you go into a conversation with someone, even with people that we're familiar with, like the most familiar with, excluding maybe kids, and you're like, unless it's, hey, I'm expecting a notification, somebody's, you know, I got a delivery person at my house, I got a whatever, that's a little different. But if you just take your phone, you set it on the table, it's almost like whoever you're waiting for you to potentially call you, that you don't even know is going to call you, is more important than our conversation. And I'm like, and again, it's not necessarily the case, but I kind of look at it that way to go, okay, wait a minute. You're not waiting for anybody to call. You didn't tell me you had anything going on. It's just, I'm going to put my phone right here. So in case somebody calls, it's going to be more important. And I'm going to interrupt our conversation. And again, it's a harsh way to look at it, but it didn't used to be that way for me. It used to never bother me. And now I find myself putting my phone away. Because I don't want anybody to feel like if I sit down and have a conversation with you, I don't want you to feel like that anybody else is more important. If my kid's got a problem, if my wife's got, somebody's got a problem, my phone will keep buzzing. And then I'll be like, oh no, like the phone's just consistently going off. I need to probably pull my phone out and look at it. But beyond that, I probably don't need to see it.
Do you remember that time? It's been years, maybe 5 years ago, maybe more, when I needed to reach you and you were at breakfast with someone and you had your phone face down on the table. Y'all, and I needed to reach him because his mom, your mom needed to reach you and she was desperate to find you and you were not answering your phone. So she called me. I was coaching a class and she's calling me repeatedly. And so I was like, I need to. Guys, I am so sorry. Yeah. This is my mother-in-law. She's called three times. Let me take this call. And I picked it up, and she's like, I need Brian, and it's very urgent, and I can't get a hold of him. And so I'm looking on my phone on our calendar. Okay, he's having breakfast with this person. Let me try to call him. Oh, thank you so much. So then I tried calling you, and I called, and I called, and I called, and I called, and you weren't answering. And I was like, well, it's in our calendar where he is. So then I Google the restaurant, and I'm calling the restaurant. I'm like, do you have someone in your restaurant? He's bald. He's meeting another man.
He's really attractive.
He's the most handsome bald man you've ever seen, and he's having breakfast with another man. Can you please go find him and tell him to pick up his phone? Like, it was old school, you know, like how we did before when...
Yeah.
We didn't have cell phones. It was that was the most. It was very frantic, but I mean, we still got in touch with you.
Yeah, it was actually about 3 years ago. Yeah.
Was it only 3 years ago? Mm-hmm. Wow.
See, I knew the story. You told it a bunch.
Yeah, it was weird. I thought it was longer than that.
No,
I mean,
it's after COVID.
Was it?
Hmm? I've had to get on the speaker the cameras at the gym before. To get her to pick up her phone because she doesn't have her phone on her when she's coaching. That's and cool. There have been times I'm like, I need you to pick up your phone. I got a problem. So I've actually got on the you can communicate with the cameras at the gym. And I'm like, hey, Vanessa. And you can see her like looking around like, who is talking to me?
I'm
like,
guy.
Please go get your phone. So we've had to do the same thing. But I just didn't know if that bothered anybody else the way it does me. But so... The phone's just a tool, right? I mean, in theory, it's just a tool. And if something's a tool, it's just sitting there waiting for you to use it, right? I mean, that would be a definition of a tool. If it isn't a tool, though, it's demanding something from you. It's seducing you. It's manipulating you. And it's how this is how the phone and technology are described in The Social Dilemma, which I think most of us have seen at this point. We'll talk about that in a second. But I think it's even more than a tool. I think it's kind of like a tool shed. And I love saying tool shed because it's just one of my favorite words. But I think it's a tool shed. I think it houses so many things that we need that potentially distract us even more. Social media, games, email, which is a problem for me. I'm not going to tell you what my computer looks like right now, but it's driving me nuts. And all these things help fuel our desire to grab our phones and not to relate to people in front of us. And Cal Newport wrote a book, and in his book, it's Digital Minimalism, and Brian alluded to it just a minute ago. But he talks about reclaiming control over our attention and time in an increasingly distracting world. And Newport argues that the constant connectivity offered by smartphones, social media, and other digital tools has led to a state of constant busyness and diminished well-being for many people. The term he uses in his book is exhaustion. And have you seen it with yourself or with other people? Have you experienced a feeling of exhaustion from technology or your phone in general?
I think I see it more with other people. That doesn't mean it doesn't happen to me. I just don't think I recognize it as much. I do think that I am at a point where I am exhausted with social media. That doesn't mean that I don't participate in scrolling and just seeing what comes up in the feed and things like reels suck me in particular, because that algorithm is really good at showing me things that are going to catch my attention. And it's usually very, you know, quote unquote wholesome things. It's going to be a drumline performance or a dog doing something cute, or, you know,
a sloth,
or somebody making art. Like, it's usually,
yeah.
But I will get caught up in it until I'm like, oh, whoa, it's been however long it's been of nonsense. I have other things to do. But as far as the exhaustion piece of it, I see it way more with our son. Mm-hmm. Because he would be, whether it's screen time on his phone, and he's not much of a social media kid. He's much more of a YouTube kid. That's what he scrolls. All the YouTube shorts and everything. And it's mindless scrolling. Is it much different than watching TV? Hmm. Yes and no, because it's so portable and it's easier to access at any given time.
You can take it with you to the bathroom instead of taking a break if you have to go to the bathroom.
You can take TV with you to the bathroom.
You can.
Well, but
on your phone.
In the old days, we had to get up and walk away. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and in the old days, you couldn't even pause it. You had you had to wait for the commercial
and then run.
Yeah.
So, but I see it with him. If he's allowed to, he'll stay up until all hours, mm-hmm. and then be exhausted, and he hasn't done anything, as opposed to when he's in camp over the summer and he's busy all day and he's exhausted, but he's been doing stuff all day, and it's a different kind of exhaustion. But anyway, so yes, the answer is yes.
I mean, I agree with your answer. I see it, I mean, more with our girls at this point because they're the ones that live at home.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I really don't deal with that personally at this stage just because of changes I've made. But I've had it before, and I see it on a much greater level with my girls. And I think I've seen it with my boys in the past. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it's looking for connection and comfort. And because a lot of the either whether it's social media or sports or any kind of entertainment promises connection and comfort, but it falls short of giving them what they actually truly desire. So I've seen it, I've experienced it, but in my current reality with the boundaries I've drawn, I'm not experiencing exhaustion from my phone or the subsequent apps.
I think I would have said the same thing until the last month, and we'll get to that later, but I think until I decided to change my behavior, I would have said I didn't feel exhausted. Now that I've changed that behavior, and then we'll get to toward the end of the podcast, I definitely think I was exhausted. It didn't manifest that way for me, and I didn't realize it until I made some changes, to your point. Which we'll get to in a minute, but yeah, I definitely could see the kids, all the kids that I deal with on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're worn out. I mean, and they don't know why they're worn out. They're just worn out, and it's not because we've got them going every direction. It's because they're always connected.
They're going every direction.
They're going every direction, just right here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Always being the idea of always being connected is exhausting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. So cell phones, while undoubtedly convenient, can pose significant dangers to relationships. One of the primary reasons is the phenomenon of constant connectivity, which can lead to decreased quality time spent together. When individuals are constantly glued to their phones, they may become disengaged from real-life interactions, leading to feelings of neglect and frustrations, even from their loved ones. This never happened to us. There's another problem as well with cell phone usage. There's some research suggesting a correlation between increased screen time and certain negative mental health outcomes, including depression and suicidal ideation or suicide in general. So I'm going to cover a couple things with you guys. Jump in if you can provide some additional insight. But being connected constantly to social media can pose several significant issues for individuals' mental, emotional, and even physical well-being. And the first is addiction and dependence, right? So social media platforms are designed to be addictive, with features such as notification, likes, streaks, which are, even with the Bible app, streaks that encourage users to spend more time on them. This can lead to compulsive behavior and dependency on social media for validation and self-worth. You know, and it's even this, the as doing research for this podcast, I came across this slot machine analogy. And I don't know if you guys have kind of realized this, but every one of your apps refresh the same way. They all refresh by pulling the screen down. Almost every one of them. In fact, I went back and looked. I'm like, well, certainly that's not the case. That's wrong. They all refresh by pulling the screen down and let it go, and it pops, right? Well, the reason they do that, and the reason all these people have designed these apps this way, it's like a slot machine. When you go play a casino and you play slots, if any of you, and I've never, well, I've played slots in the past. It's not something I've ever really done because it's a lose-lose situation. But if you go, like, you don't, you put your money in and you pull a handle, you never know what you're going to get. Sometimes it's great, sometimes it's horrible, but you never know. So that keeps you putting more money in to go, oh, this next one, I'm going to get something good. Oh, this next one, I'm going to do something good. Oh, this next one, I'm going to do something good. And all of these app designers have designed these apps to refresh the same way, and it's designed to be addictive. Like, and I didn't realize it at all until I started doing research, but I was like, this is crazy. Have you guys seen, like, have you seen yourself, like, refresh? Have you, maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm the only one of the four of us that have ever gone, like, oh, let me keep refreshing to see what pops up. Or let me see who posted something that I didn't see right this second, and it's a faster way for me to see it when it pops up.
I'm not a refresher. I'm not.
Okay.
Because I get bored. And you were talking about going to Reels. I don't know that I've ever accessed Reels just to watch them. Like, I've gone to, like, an Instagram feed, you know?
Yeah.
And not the Reels page, but just a regular, and I'll see one, like, okay, fine, whatever. Like, I've gone through a feed, but I don't go into, like, search or any of that stuff, that feature at all.
I don't either, but I get sucked into the Reels. Like, the, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'll watch one because it's in somebody's feed, and then I scroll up just like I would in the app. But now I'm on the Reels side.
Yeah, see, I don't ever switch over. Like, I don't go that far.
I've never done that either.
It's really interesting.
I think we're not the normal.
I don't get notifications on my phone either. I turn notifications off on every app, just because. Well, except for text messages, but and phone calls, but. I just thought it was funny. I was like, I don't see people's Reels. Why don't I? And I guess it's just because I don't access it that way. But I'm not a refresher. I am more prone to going to social media because I'm bored or looking for something else. If I pull up Instagram and I go and I'll be about three or four in and I'm like, this is boring. I'm doing something else.
Wow.
So
good
I don't,
for you.
The stories across the top, I'm probably more prone to getting caught in watching the stories across the top just because they're a little bit shorter and clicking through people's stories. Mm. But I'm not really a refresher. In fact, I mean, you saw me trying to figure out how to turn my sound on for text messages before.
That's great. I love it, though. It's good.
The only thing I could think of, well, there are two things. One I thought of in the moment, one I thought of previously. In the moment, I thought of how I can be that way with sports. So if I want to know what's happening in a game, or if I'm watching like a game cast, I will want to know, like, hey, what happened? What happened? What happened? And I've done that before.
That makes sense.
Because I'm not maybe watching it live. Like, well, it's live on my phone, but I'm not watching a broadcast of the game. I'm scrolling on a like ESPN.
Right.
The other thing is about 8 or 9 years ago, my son Matt was, I think he was late middle school. Yeah. And he started playing a game called Pokemon Go. And so I wanted to connect with him because, well, I want to connect with all my kids, but it was something he was interested in. So I was like, hey, I'll play with you. So I was going around with him in our neighborhood and catching these virtual monsters, and then I started finding myself wanting to collect more of them.
Well, you got to catch them all.
I got to catch them all. So, but then they kept updating the game to where you could then go and battle against these monsters or whatever, Pokemon, and you could do it with other people. You would gather at these specific places called Pokestops. And I found myself going to these Pokestops based on the timer on my phone to do these battles. And guess who wasn't with me anymore? Matt. And I'm not kidding. I did this for like a year. And I was kind of embarrassed by it because...
of the other people at the Pokestops.
Perhaps. But I was like, you know, like I tried to justify like, well, maybe this is a ministry opportunity for me to reach people.
And it could have been.
Yeah, we were battling together. But what I started realizing is, what am I doing with my life? My kid isn't even playing anymore. I mean, if he does, it's like, he was so like, man, whatever. And so one day it just hit me and I quit. I advanced these levels and a couple of other of my kids were playing and Brooke was playing, but they were so much less committed. And
he'd say, you want to go to the Pokestop? Not really. You're
going by yourself. And cemeteries were a great place to go for Pokestop. Cemeteries had them.
Okay.
And like I'm looking back on it and I'm like, that was really dumb. But the initial intent was good. I just, in my competitive nature, found myself going, oh, I can do this and I can do this. And I look back on it and I'm like, what was it doing? I got sucked into the exact phenomenon you're talking about. And I don't want to do that again. About for something that's not going to bring about a return that I'm going to look at and be proud of.
Right.
So that's why at this point I've drawn boundaries. I don't have any games on my phone. I don't play games on my phone. I'm not faulting people who do. I just know myself that I am wholehearted in a lot of ways. And if I do it, I'm going to want to advance and whatever it is. So I've drawn a hard boundary.
Yeah.
Some people are able to set great limits and play 10 minutes in a day and they're good. But I'm just choosing not to do that with my time at this point.
Yeah. Makes sense. So let's transition to something really negative, which is negative impact on mental health, right? So we just talked about that a second ago, but excessive use of social media has been linked to increased rates of anxiety, depression, and loneliness. Constant exposure to idealized images and lifestyles can lead to feelings of inadequacy and low self-esteem, particularly among young people. These statistics are pretty rough. So the rate of hospitalization in teen girls for non-fatal self-harm, right? So still self-harm, but non-fatal self-harm, is up 62% since 2009. For girls, teen girls, 15 to 19, it's up 189% for girls 10 to 14. That's according to the CDC. I didn't make these rates. This is CDC. Suicide rates for teen girls are the same. For girls age 15 to 19, the rate is up 70% since the first 10 years of the decade, right? Since 2000 to 2010. Preteen girls are up 151%. This corresponds to the rise of social media on social devices, but really the influx of the iPhone in 2009, 2010. I mean, you can call it whatever you want, but everything that I've looked at is like, that's really what changed the game, right? And social media has, but it really was the phone, the iPhone. I don't know, I guess, how to frame that up other than it's a bigger problem, I think, than I would have thought it would be, especially as someone that's in ministry for kids in the 10 to 14 age. Like, I deal in that world, and I see it. I mean, we see it every Sunday. I see kids with phones, and I see screens, and I see this stuff, and I'm like, you could be one of these. I mean, you could be one of these people. In fact, we have people in our ministry that I do get concerned about sometimes. I'm like, I'm not liking this at all. I don't like what I see. I think it's a little... But it's so pervasive in our society now. I don't even know how we get past it. I really don't. But scary, scary, scary statistics. And this is just teen girls. I mean, the rates for guys is not much different. It's not quite as severe, but it's still pretty bad, you know? The next big piece, and this came from this documentary that I think we all watched, right? The Social Dilemma, which is privacy concerns. And when I originally thought about privacy concerns, I'm thinking like, oh, you're going to steal my data and send it to somebody. And that's not necessarily what the privacy concerns are. I mean, yes, your data is being sold to people. I mean, there's no way around it. And they know everything about you. The problem is, though, is that they target this in your privacy for advertising, and it's sold to third parties, right? Most of it's not nefarious, like, oh, I'm going to send it over to China, like we hear about TikTok all the time, like, oh, this is a propaganda machine. And it is in a lot of ways, but it's not necessarily, that's not the problem. And in this documentary, they talk about if you're not paying for the product, which we don't pay for social media, right? If you're not paying for it, you are the product. And that got me thinking, like, that's probably the case. Because we don't pay, you know, you pay for things that you need. Otherwise, you're being sold. You're being bought and sold. And, you know, the change is pretty slight. And it's not drastic when it happens. But they know when someone's lonely. They know when you're lonely. They know when you're depressed. They know based on your scrolling and viewing history what drives you and what will drive you. And it's funny. And I'll get to this in a minute. But, you know, as I've distance myself from this world, I'm getting notifications from this documentary, and they're like, oh, this is how they get you back on. Like, this is what happens when they collect all this information on you. But they need more and more data. How they get it is they develop ways to get you connected to your phone. And a simple but effective way to demonstrate this is the ellipsis. And I didn't know what an ellipsis was before I started doing this. And I'm like, oh, I had no idea what an ellipsis is. But here's a way to think about getting you to stay on your phone, but not only getting you to stay on, but collecting more information from you is the ellipsis that shows up when you're texting someone. So when you guys text somebody, if you're in the middle of a conversation, you know there's a little box, a little bubble window box that pops up, and it's got little dots. And they consistently, you know, they go darker to lighter to darker to lighter. And you're like, oh, I'm texting Brian. Brian's texting back. I'm going to wait and see what happens. Like, and that's on purpose. That ellipsis was designed on purpose, and it's on purpose to keep you on your phone to see how you're going to react when you get said text back or when you get whatever notification on social that you're on.
And then you get the dots, and then nothing.
And then nothing. And you're like,
and then you're depressed because they must not like you.
You're like, oh, they were typing and they stopped typing.
You're lonely.
Yeah. And you might not have been lonely before, but you're lonely now.
Like, and y'all joke, but like, I'm the person that goes, oh.
What did they write? Why did they delete it?
Right.
Oh my gosh. Did I do something wrong?
Oh, so, yeah. I may or may not be guilty of that kind of behavior. I mean, it's even someone who I know is not like going anywhere. So my wife, I'm like, she's typing, like, and it just went away. And then I'm doing the slot machine, trying to refresh, and nothing. Like, it's crickets. And then when it's really crickets, like 30 minutes goes by and there's nothing. You're like, oh, they didn't actually send anything. Like,
no, that's when you call me. Yeah. You didn't want to respond to my text message.
Are you still alive? Are you there? You know, something happened to you while you were mid-text?
What you didn't see is she was rubbing her forehead and stroking her eyebrows as you were talking about your response to the ellipsis.
So we're in, and they talk about it in this documentary, but from a privacy standpoint and driving all of this interaction, we're in a currency of attention, and our attention's what's for sale. And I think it's something that we don't think about on a regular basis. I know our kids don't, but I didn't really think about it. But it's becoming ever more increasing that however long we look at something, they get paid. Like, if you look at an image on social for 20 seconds versus 3 seconds or a half a second, they make more money on that. And they continue to target and sell things based on that. And I was amazed when they started going through the algorithm, which we're going to talk about in a minute, but I couldn't believe that that's kind of what was going on in these situations. But in the documentary, The Social Dilemma, they highlight how these platforms designed to connect people and share information have evolved into powerful tools that manipulate user behavior and influence opinions. It examines the addictive nature of social media fueled by algorithms that prioritize engagement at the expense of user well-being. They specifically discuss why and how these technologies are designed to keep us hooked. And it's a powerful point in the film when you get a view of the algorithm. And for me, it was really important to get someone back on their phone after they stopped using it, mm-hmm. right? That was one of the things in this documentary that I'm like, oh, wow. And I'm going through this now and we'll get to this in the back of the podcast on how we change some of this stuff. But as I'm progressing, I'm getting notifications and I'm getting these emails about social media saying, oh, Brooke Marston just posted, they want you to see what they just posted on blah, 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 whatever. And I'm like, really? That's odd. Or, you know, so-and-so just posted on, Facebook for the first time. They really want you to, and I'm like, oh, wow. And I never used to get those. Because I was always on. I was always on social, so I never got them. And they, I guess, didn't feel the need to ever send them to me. They do now. So have you guys experienced any notifications or prompts that get you to interact with whatever service? And maybe it's not social.
Yeah. No, go ahead. Finish your question. Go. I'm sorry. I wasn't meaning to interrupt.
No, it's okay.
She got really excited.
She was excited. So what are you excited about?
Yeah. So do you use Threads?
Nope.
So
yeah.
They tell me all the time that you want to connect with me on Threads. They've said that you want to connect with me on Threads, that you want to connect with me. Everybody wants to connect with me on Threads.
Where's Threads?
I didn't get a Brian. I got a Brooke.
I've gotten all three of you.
Threads is another social media format. I think
Instagram owns it.
Instagram owns it, but I think it's a
just
little
for
bit
text.
More like, it's like Twitter.
It's like X. Twitter, mm-hmm. whatever.
And they're connected.
Yeah.
They're connected.
Twitter, that's so old.
But it's just for text, so there are no pictures. Mm-hmm. They want Instagram to stay.
No, there are pictures when you get on. And I'm not telling you how I know that, but there are pictures.
You don't have to tell me how you know that. You just did.
But yeah, so and sometimes because I've noticed on Instagram, intermittently, mm-hmm. you'll have a Threads post in between that's, mm-hmm. you know, you'll have your Instagram post that's a picture or whatever, and then picture, and then there's this real skinny little Threads text, but it only gives you, well, I guess depending on the length of it, you may see the whole thing or you may only see part of it. Oh, so I wanna connect with
you
on
Threads.
Yeah,
you wanna connect with me on Threads.
Yeah, so when I got onto Threads, all these people that said I wanted to connect to, nobody's posted anything. I'm like, well, that's stupid. I'm like, I don't understand it. You wanted to connect with me on Threads, but you're not posting anything on Threads. Well, that was stupid. So now I'm like,
because they don't really want to connect with you.
You're really dumb.
Threads wants you to connect with these people.
Right.
Threads wants you to get on there.
So that's one example of experiencing notification or prompts that got you interact, and it got me to interact. I'm now on Threads. Seriously, I am.
Are you doing anything on
Threads?
No,
I'm not doing anything on Threads.
I don't even know how to post on Threads.
Well, you're on Threads.
I've never been on Threads.
You're on Threads.
Yeah, I'm on there. But I don't know.
So are a bunch of people we know.
Doing on
there. And when you go on Threads, it automatically sends everybody you're friends with on Instagram a thread notification to say connect with me.
Ah, okay.
That's why you want to connect with me.
That's why, yeah. So has anybody else experienced any notifications or prompts that have actually gotten you to interact with something? Think about it for a second.
I'm sure I have. I just can't think of one.
I've gotten the emails that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. But if I get an email from Facebook, I'm not like running over there. Honestly, I'm kind of worried about scams. So when I get notifications, I'm very hesitant to click on things. But I did. I mean, my cousin posted something. They tried to get me with my cousin.
Mm-hmm.
She's posted something for the first time in a while. Go check it out. But I think I'd already been on Facebook, and when I opened it up, it was like the first thing I saw. So then I was like, well, I was already there. I already saw it. I know what it is. So, no.
Yeah.
I mean, beyond just that, sometimes I'm interested, but I don't. I'll catch that next time I'm on there.
Okay. Well, I guess I'm the only idiot that's...
No, I mean, obviously I got on Threads at some point because somebody wanted to connect with me.
You're on Threads, but so is a lot of people. So, and it was really weird because when you click on it, I'm like, but nobody's posted anything. Like, nobody that I follow has posted anything, but everybody's on it. And I'm like, I don't understand.
We're all here waiting for something to happen. I mean, obviously, I
yeah.
joined.
Yeah.
Connect with me on there. No. Unless you don't want to connect with me on there.
And now I'm going to go connect with you face to face. Oh, no.
Thanks for checking out episode 24, Disconnected, on the F4 Podcast, part 1. We hope you enjoy diving deep into the presence of cell phones and the challenges they present in our relationships. Be sure to check us out shortly for episode 24, Disconnected, part 2, where we go deeper into what it means to be connected and then how to break that connection and have better relationships with those in front of us. We hope you have a great day, and we look forward to seeing you soon.